talking sports with you as you start your day. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, with Blaine Bishop, Mark Howard, and Kevin Ingram on 104.5 The Zone.
.903 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, you can count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Visit fourseasonsgarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. A little bit later this hour, we're going to have Joe Rexroad, of course, from The Athletic, talking a variety of subjects, but mainly about the Titans. And a little bit later than that, Zach Cox from Nesson, talking about what's going on with the New England Patriots. You know, Tom Brady, of course, has left. Cam Newton recently signed. A lot of drama surrounding the Pats. And Blaine, Philip Rivers either stole your material or he's asking for his good friend Ryan Tannehill. But apparently, the eight-time Pro Bowler, now, of course, with the Indianapolis Colts, his whole career before that, the Chargers. But he posed the question of what would happen if a player tests positive for COVID-19 just ahead of the Super Bowl, but is asymptomatic, would he be forced to miss it? And the rule is he has two avenues of travel. He would either be sidelined or quarantined for 10 days following the test, or for only 5 days, but the latter requires two consecutive negative tests within a 24-hour period and clearance from the respective team's physician after the physician consults with both the infection control for sports and the NFL chief medical officer. So, you know, like I said, he was asking for Ryan Tannehill because, as we know, Tannehill might be faced with that dilemma because the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I posed that question probably, I don't know, maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
Especially just in general, because they're going to play. And we guess what? We won't know that they were infected until after the fact. Maybe. There's no way. Mahomes and Rodgers, any of the great quarterbacks, and that is not the computer talking like that. That's me. And, man, there's no way that's happening. Tannehill, this is not going to happen. You know, so, yeah, as much as they're not following, the safety to the players, they don't. They want to see a great product, and they want to see the name on the back of that jersey that played quarterback in that Super Bowl.
So you're telling me they would knowingly –
Nope. Unknowingly. Unknowingly, knowingly.
This is one of these situations where you can't be half pregnant.
No, Mark. This is how it's done in sports. Let me educate you a little bit. A guy is injured. This is the example. And you're in the training room, and the trainer looks up at the coach, and he goes, "You think you're going to go?" And he looks at you like, "I don't know. It's up to him. Does he want to go? It's up to him." Then they both walk away, and you never see the front of their faces ever again, and the guy's out on the football field playing. How does that happen? Because they turned a blind eye. They turned a blind eye on what they should tell the player to do, and then they let the player make the decision because he wants to play and he wants to be on the football field. So they'll see the positive test, and they go, "Oh, no, I must have saw somebody else's. That's not that test." And then they'll fix that sheet of paper that has his name on it, and it'll be somebody else's name on there. Come on, man. Nothing's played fairly. Come on, Mark. You got to know this. That's not going to happen. It's just not.
I hope it does. That would be very sad if it got to that point.
Are you kidding me? What? Why is it so different than if a dude, like T.O. had a broken ankle pretty much and played in the Super Bowl versus New England for the Eagles?
Yeah, but
he should have been playing.
Yeah,
sign a waiver to say, "We are not responsible for your ankle, T.O.
Yeah, but T.O. isn't infectious as opposed to a quarterback.
Well, he could have got infected, and open wound, and could have got hurt. He could have. I get what you're saying. There is a difference, right?
A broken ankle isn't contagious. It's just.
Well, if it's an open wound and he had surgery on it, Mark, because he did.
Yeah.
Because he had surgery and he was playing with a surgically repaired in a short window.
But his, broken ankle is not contagious to other people. Is the point?
Well, no, I said it could get infected amongst him. You can't get infected from a broken ankle. We all know this, okay? Come on now, let's be realistic. I said he can infect himself.
Yeah,
he had surgery.
Yeah, that absolutely. Yeah.
Not other people. I get it, but you guys think they care about infecting other people in a Super Bowl?
Good God, I hope so.
No, Shafe says no. You says good God, yes. No way. You. This is the whole element of football. They don't. Dude, you play, even the player is training. They can't untrain us to play at all cost. At all cost.
All right, let's go to the phones. Jerry and Franklin, you're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning.
Hey, Mark, give me an idea of how much money, extra money, the Chiefs made last year by winning the Super Bowl. And in the future, if Mahomes wins two more, what kind of money could we be talking about them making from two more Super Bowl wins later?
Yeah, Mark, what is
that? I don't know if it's – yeah, you make money on merch, but really everybody gets kind of an equal cut in the NFL. It's more about prestige than it is about making money. Now, yeah, I mean, selling merch could end up being a windfall for the Chiefs. They sell out every seat regardless. So I don't think that's a big issue.
But you got to think they'd be able to line up bigger, longer term corporate sponsorships, though, that they can bank that money 3, 5, 10 years down the road.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. Yeah. So they make a lot of money.
They did. They
never.
Absolutely.
It helps.
But it's as far as Mahomes,
quantified how much it is, I don't know. I have no idea.
Because if you're winning,
this is locking up a generational talent.
If you're winning, you can charge more money for tickets. You can charge more money for concessions. You can charge more money for parking. You can have a lot of ancillary events that go on to which you can charge more. You can charge more for everything for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now I don't know what the actual I don't know what the dollar number to that is. But back to the caller's point, is this contract really that much money when you compare it to what Mahomes brings to the franchise in terms of value and cash?
Yeah.
Well, but my counter to that is you're operating under a salary cap. So you would if you didn't spend your money this way, you'd spend it another way. So, I think it's just – it's just part of doing business. It's not like – this isn't like baseball, where there really isn't a salary cap. There might be, a threshold, but you're going to spend – that money's going to go somewhere. So it might as well go to Mahomes. And that's the way the Chiefs are looking at it. Plus, they see the cap is going to rise big time. So this is the perfect time for you to make a deal like this with your quarterback.
But it's not just that. It's how much more – what's the value of your franchise?
Organization, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because how much more valuable would the Titans have been if Tom Brady came to Nashville instead of going to Tampa Bay? How much more valuable of a franchise is Tampa Bay with Tom Brady there? And you're talking –
Tom Brady would have sold merch and he would have sold tickets,
Not just that, but if you're in ownership of that franchise, yes, you have an appreciative – asset, but you're going to make X times how much more money because you have that asset in your city and you have them locked in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's more than you think, Mark.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right, straight ahead, we're going to bring in Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, talk to him about the Titans and a few other subjects. 9:13 on the Wake Up Zone. On 104.5 The Zone. .919 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Kevin off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. Let's bring in our buddy from The Athletic, Joe Rexroad. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. All right, you saw the numbers that Patrick Mahomes got, 10 years, could be upwards of $500 million if all things work out. Does that change at all the way you look at Ryan Tannehill's deal with the Titans?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mark. Yeah, I knew that at some point that would happen, that Mahomes was going to set the market this summer. And, you know, he won't be the only one. But, yeah, I mean, Tannehill looks like a little bit more of a bargain now. I think, you know, when you talk about, I mean, Mahomes to me, I mean, he's, you know, a different level, obviously. That's incredible money, but he's also, a generational talent. I think you're going to see some other guys, you know, like a Dak Prescott. I think that'll even make Titans fans feel better about, you know, Tannehill's deal, because I don't think Prescott is in that league with, you know, Mahomes. But, yeah, it won't be long, guys, before there's a lot of QB deals out there that make the Tannehill deal look awfully frugal.
What about the Titans yesterday sending out a letter to their season ticket holders, giving them the opportunity to opt out for the 2020 season? But overall, what were some of your takes on what you saw from that letter?
Yeah, well, you know, the first thought, Mark, is it comes at a time when I feel like there's, you know, things have gotten, you know, tenuous here with the whole picture of the virus and sports and fans in the stands and all that stuff. And so, you know, maybe I took a leap there just because of the timing. But I mean, I think it makes sense. Obviously, people will have that opportunity. And, you know, we still don't know. I don't think it's any surprise. I mean, the NFL was already talking about selling, you know, advertising space in the first row and things like that. Like, I never anticipated that we were going to be talking about full stadiums, but this is just sort of confirmation that now we know. We can say it out loud. That's not going to happen. Next question is, you know, exactly how full can a stadium be? Will there be anyone? You know, I think the next few weeks are going to have a lot to say about that. The next few weeks, really out of the control of sports, you know, the general populace. But, you know, I think it was a sensible message and approach.
You see the way colleges are struggling, you know, with all of this, you know, with the testing and the protocols. As we go into training camp, does the NFL just feel like they have a better way of doing it? Or do you think they're in denial about this?
That's a great question. You know, I will say this, that if they don't have this as figured out as you can have it, and if they aren't willing to, you know, to be different and to understand that, you know, the virus isn't going to conform to what you want, then that's shame on the NFL. I mean, they've had the benefit here, unlike these other leagues. They've had the benefit of time. They've been able to, and they did a great job, you know, with the draft and other things in the off season. But they've had the time here. They have the resources to set a standard here. So, and again, everything's not in their control. People go home at night. You have a lot of other different people that are going to be at whatever you have. Your training camp, your practices, you have games. You have people coming from different places. I mean, it's not easy. But, man, there's no excuse for the NFL to not have this figured out and have a strong plan. I mean, college football is totally different. To me, it feels very haphazard right now. And you've got different levels, different economic realities, you know, for Power 5 versus Group of 5, FCS. I mean, that's just a different deal. The NFL, it should be in great shape. And if not, then that's a real leadership failure.
We're speaking to Joe Rexroad, who covers the Titans, covers Nashville for The Athletic.
Hey, Joe, man, I guess talking about, you know, the NFL and, and the pandemic and C-19 and all have all these measures and protocols in place, you're starting to see now that there's a possibility that you can wear a different mask, I guess, to protect yourself from even getting a droplet of sweat on the person you're going against. How much do you know about this and understand the plan, or have you heard anything at all about having some masks to protect the players in NFL games?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of those pictures, Blaine, and it's almost looks like something out of like a science fiction movie, you know? But yeah, I mean, look, I think more and more, and I've spent the morning on the phone with, you know, some different people on college sports, but also in the medical community. And, you know, look, I mean, it's no surprise, but by now I think everyone should realize, you know, wearing a mask is really, really important, and it can really make a difference in terms of, you know, you may have it be asymptomatic, but if you wear that mask, that's really going to cut down the chances of you spreading it to someone else. So, you know, it makes sense to have these helmets, because you can test, and you can still potentially, you know, have someone who has the virus. And so, even though it's weird to think about, guys, because, you know, I mean, we're talking about football, the contact sport, you guys sweating on each other and spitting on each other, all this stuff that you normally have. I mean, you really got to make sure that environment is clean. But still, I mean, why not have another layer of protection? You know, I guess as long as it doesn't impede your ability to, you know, to see, to play. Because obviously, if it impedes you in any way, that's a different kind of a, you know, safety problem, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I couldn't wear a visor. I tried to look cool with the Vader look, and I couldn't, you know, practice was one thing. But in a game, I couldn't even half breathe. I had to take that thing off immediately after the first series. So it'll be interesting to see if guys try to go that extra layer and if it affects their breathing actually in game. Now, taking it to the sideline, do we think, you know, once you're not in the game, do you think guys will be standing on the sideline with the mask on as well?
Yeah, see, that's the interesting thing about it. It's like, I mean, to me, like, if you're comfortable enough to play this game, right? Like, if you have done everything, but, I mean, this kind of goes to the last question, too, I guess. I mean, I guess you could say it about that, too. But if you're comfortable enough to put these guys out there in the field against each other, and you understand this is a collision, this is a contact sport, it's a collision sport, there is just a ton of contact out there. You're allowing this to happen. I guess I would think that why would you then, you know, why would you need to worry about, like, being distanced on the sideline if you're going out there and smashing into people? Now, someone would say, well, why not be as safe as possible? And look, I'm fine with that. I mean, to me, it's just, like, if everyone just had the attitude right now, look, I may not believe this or this, I may not be worried about myself at all, but why not be as safe as possible? Then, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. But that'll be interesting, Blaine, because it still seems strange to me to have a sport, a contact sport like this, and you're sending out everybody out there to mix it with this other team, and then you're going to have them, like, stand 6 feet apart with a mask on the sideline. I'm just having a hard time computing it.
In college football is going to delay or even cancel the season, and then leading into that, do you think that actually is going to happen? And then do you think it's viable for college football to play in the spring and have their season during the spring?
Yeah, well, obviously the Ivy League, I think they're going to make that decision. And, that, you know, the Ivy League, usually you just think of them as their own separate thing. They don't do scholarships, you know, they're not, I mean, you know, it's still very separate from, you know, big-time college football. But if there are presidents who have that impulse to move to the spring, and this is sort of a domino to say, okay, look, this makes sense, let's move to the spring. I still think that Power 5 people in college athletics regard that as an absolute last-ditch idea. Now, some would say, and I was actually just talking to Chris Massaro just before I got on with you guys, you know, about spring football and the different things. And, you know, there is some momentum for the vaccines right now. There's some good news on, you know, a timeline that maybe you could say, hey, if you waited and, like, started your season January or February, by then, you could actually have a vaccine, and then think about how much better you could actually have fans, all that stuff. But you don't know that for sure. and then you think about the complications. I mean, how many of these, you know, how many of these players who are NFL prospects are going to want to play at that time, college football? I mean, is Trevor Lawrence going to want to play? Maybe. Maybe he still wants to try to win a national championship for Clemson, but I certainly wouldn't blame him if he's like, no, I'm now eligible for the draft. I'm going to get ready for the draft. And I think you would see a lot of that. So I still think they're going to, barring, you know, more bad news from here, I still think they're going to give it a run at playing in the fall. But of course, you know, then the question is, you know, what would it take to halt the season, or how disrupted will the season be? I mean, it's hard to imagine that everyone's going to be able to start Labor Day weekend and play 12 games like the schedule says.
I guess last thing for me then is, you know, all about the Clowney watch, and I just think he could help, you know, and be a vital piece. And now it's looking like more and more, if they can get him for a great price, he could become a Titan. What do you think the odds are that Clowney will be a Titan?
Yeah, well, the Browns just signed Olivier Vernon, so, you know, that you would think that would take them out of street stakes, although it was already reported, I guess, that they made a run and he didn't appear very interested in that. But, you know, our guys who cover the Raiders at The Athletic, Sean Reed and Vic DeFer, had a story yesterday that the Raiders are in those sweepstakes, but are a, quote, distant third. I'm still sticking, guys, with the number one on that list is the Titans. I still think he's going to end up signing with the Titans. It's a matter of, you know, agreeing on that number. But, you know, if the Browns are out of there, you think the Seahawks are out of there, who else would really be a good competitor for the Titans? I mean, the Jets, I suppose. I think when you add everything up, it still looks really good for the Titans. And I'm with you, Blaine. I really think you can talk about his sack numbers or whatever you want to talk about. I mean, think about this defense with and without him. I think there's a pretty big difference in those two things.
Yeah. We're on with senior writer Joe Rexroad of The Athletic.
Joe, a story that's kind of gotten buried is the sexual assault story involving Vanderbilt football players. What's your takeaway from this when it looks, you know, kind of disturbing, you know, that Vanderbilt didn't seem to learn from the last time they went through this?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. First of all, a lot of credit to my pal Adam Sparks at the Tennessean, who did a really good job of reporting that story. And, you know, it's troubling. I mean, the thing that really hits you about that story is you think about this young woman, you know, sort of having to move herself so that Charles Wright can, you know, be in the building and do the pro day. I mean, to me, it's a huge mistake that you would let Charles Wright do the pro day. He'd been expelled. And just separate that from the case. You know, separate that from the fact that he wasn't charged. You know, he didn't receive criminal charges. He was still expelled. There's a different standard for Title IX. And then, you know, a big question with that, and I've talked to some people off the record about this. You know, the Title IX office had a lot to do, of course, with this, but even the communications with the woman and everything. And I think there were definitely some mistakes made. Like you said, Mark, I mean, when you have what you had a few years ago, then you shouldn't have holes and gaps in your process. I mean, you should be as vigilant as possible, and you can't allow something like this to happen. Where was the breakdown? You know, I mean, look, I don't think you can just take all responsibility off athletics. I mean, look, the bottom line is he played for the football program. Derek Mason, you know, was still talking about a leg injury after, you know, he'd gone through this process. And I think, you know, that you can't do that. I mean, you say no comment, you know. You don't still go with the leg injury thing. I do think that, you know, obviously there was a personnel move in the Title IX office, which I read that as related to this. But it's also, I think, an example of different parts of Vanderbilt not getting together and being on the same page. And that's, even apart from the sexual assault stuff, that's kind of a consistent theme over there, and that has got to get better. But, you know, that's the thing that really stuck out to me, Mark, is just the idea that, you know, this woman would have to, you know, move or adjust her life around this person And that just can't be allowed to happen.
And finally, Joe, the Predators, you know, you've been around there enough. It seems like John Hines has a much better feel for his hockey team, having taken advantage of this hiatus, to really put them under the microscope. How do you think that's going to play into their return, hopefully, when they start camp next week, leading into the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, so many fascinating storylines with that. I mean, I start with Ryan Johansson. I mean, I know, you know, talking to him a few weeks ago, I think he looked at this like a chance to start over. Obviously, it's been a really tough season for him. He has not produced. He has not played up to his salary, not even close. Some other guys who, you know, I mean, Mikael Granlund has had kind of a resurgent year. I mean, he's going into free agency. What does this mean to him? Does anybody opt out is a question, too. And I believe that the deadline is today at 4. Do we see anyone significant, either with this team or any team, opt out of this? I think the good thing for hockey is they've got a good plan, and it looks like players can feel better about the safety and the reliability of their bubble than probably any other sport right now. But even with the Preds, what about goaltending? I mean, look, I think you have to look at UC Saros as the guy. He's earned that. But Pecorine basically had an off season of rest now, and we know how good he can be when he gets hot. So, you know, that's another interesting dynamic there. How quickly do you make a move there? Maybe more quickly than just your typical, we have a 1 and we have a 2. It's still, I think, kind of a 1A, 1B thing.
Joe, outstanding as always. Keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you down the line.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot. See you later.
All right, Joe Rexroth from The Athletic. Outstanding. Just great stuff today. All right, straight ahead, we've got Zach Cox from Nesson talking New England Patriots. 9:36 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. .43 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Top of the hour, the midday 180. But now let's bring in Zach Cox from Nesson, covers the New England Patriots. Zach, good morning. We do not have Zach yet, so we're working on him. Anyway, that's he would be somebody that we talked to about the Cam Newton sighting. Tom Brady, not a Patriot. How strange that would be to cover a training camp for the Patriots. And for the first time in 20 years, really, that the TB12 is not there. The other thing, Blaine, that I thought was interesting earlier in the week, Tom House, Brady's throwing coach, the former major league pitcher, Tom House, who has become sort of a throwing guru to young pitchers and quarterbacks, saying that Brady texted him saying football's fun again. What do you think that means, reading between the lines?
Well, he got to take off his training wheels there in Tampa and not in New England. You know, it's a regimen and it works. They won, and now he wants to have fun. And Gronk, who better to have fun with Gronk? So he brought his buddy with him.
All right, we have Zach Cox from Nesson. He covers the New England Patriots. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, right off the top, the Cam Newton signing. How has that gone over, not only with the media, but with Patriots fans?
I think it's gone over pretty well. I think people were, both in the media and in the fan base, were probably a little surprised initially, just because it did seem to be trending toward a situation where the Patriots were going to go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer as their two quarterbacks, as kind of crazy as that did sound. But once that initial surprise wore off and you look at the specifics of this deal, there's really nothing not to like about it. I mean, you're paying a guy who is a former NFL MVP, was one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. You're basically paying him nothing. And then even if he hits every incentive in this contract, he'll still be one of the lowest paid starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think all around this is just a no-brainer deal for the Patriots. We'll see how Cam Newton actually looks, whether he's healthy, whether he's lost a step at all. But for the price that they paid for this, it's absolutely worth a shot.
There are some who are predicting that Cam will not be the starting quarterback once the season starts. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, his relationship with Belichick, how do you think that's going to be?
Well, relationship-wise, I think it's going to be – I don't think there are going to be any issues there. Bill Belichick over the years has been extremely complimentary of Cam Newton, going back to the times where he faced the Patriots in 2013 and 2017. Had a lot of praise for him both of those times. And the Patriots have had a history of bringing in guys who with kind of big personalities that maybe don't fit the exact kind of Patriot way mold. And they've been able, a lot of those guys have been able to have success in New England. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. Whether he's going to be the starting quarterback, I think he's the clear favorite at this point. I don't think it's a kind of write him in Sharpie 100% kind of deal, just because, as I mentioned before, you have the health questions and the fact that he hasn't been, I mean, basically since the first half of the 2018 season was the last time we really saw full strength Cam Newton. So if he is healthy, and unless his game has kind of completely fallen apart in the last 2 years, I do think that he will be the starting quarterback here, but I don't think I wouldn't be flabbergasted if it ends up being Jarrett Stidham because Cam Newton just didn't work out for whatever reason. But I do think Newton has to be viewed as the obvious favorite for that job right now.
We're speaking to Zach Cox, who covers the Patriots for Nesson.
Hey, Zach, on that same note then, if Cam Newton is presumed to start, if all things are go with his health, let's say Stidham is the backup. Isn't that actually the better position to be in if you're Stidham just to come off the bench in case Cam doesn't perform well? Because if the roles were reversed and Stidham's a starter and he doesn't play well because he doesn't have a lot of experience, then he loses all confidence and they put Cam Newton in there. So how do you view that?
No, it's definitely a good point. I mean, being from a pressure standpoint, there really isn't a bigger pressure-filled position in the NFL than replacing Tom Brady. And I think Cam Newton, with his kind of history and experience, would be better suited to handle that pressure. And then giving kind of Jarrett Stidham a little bit of time to, whether it be another year or whether it be a little bit later in the season, to kind of give him a little more time to develop and mature in that regard. I like Jarrett Stidham. I think that there is a very good chance that he does become the Patriots' starting quarterback down the line at some point, whether that's this year, whether that's next year. But I think for the Patriots would be in the best position if Cam Newton does come out and win that job handily and give Jarrett Stidham another year to develop and learn and do all the things that an NFL quarterback has to do.
Would this statement be true that Coach Belichick actually was going into this season as though Stidham is his starting quarterback?
You mean like going into training camp or coming into the season with Stidham as the starting quarterback? I think Stidham can be the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year. I think there's even a very slight chance that Stidham beats out a healthy Cam Newton in training camp if he just comes on and really builds on the impressive preseason we saw from him last year. And with the way Bill Belichick runs things, I honestly wouldn't be shocked if Brian Hoyer takes the first team rep in training camp just as a kind of, hey, we're not going to give this job to anybody type thing. It's an open competition. But overall, with all the factors that go into it, I do think that you have to view Cam Newton as the obvious favorite here, assuming he is healthy and assuming he looks anything like the Cam Newton we saw a few years ago.
Right. Well, I guess to that note, you know, Cam put out the video, and this is where people, you know, a little iffy with Cam, and Bill runs his show the way he likes to run it, and he puts out the video, just nothing hard, you know, it's harmless, it's off-season, talking about, you know, you're doubting me and all these things, and kind of, you know, letting him know that he's going to be a lion and, you know, going through all these little sayings and everything else. But what happens during the season, because that's a little taste of who Cam is, when all of a sudden –
Bill decides, you know what, we're only going to use you as the running quarterback this game, and we're going to start Stenham or Hoyer, and you're now going to be the backup. How do you think Cam Newton will respond to that?
That's the one scenario where I could see maybe Cam Newton's personality and his sort of approach maybe sort of that's the one area I could see that might be a problem. If Cam Newton comes in and he's either the starting quarterback or he's hurt and he doesn't make the team, I don't think either of those are going to be an issue. But if you do see a scenario where Jarrett Stidham plays well enough this summer that Belichick goes to Cam Newton and says, hey, Cam, we want you on the team, but you're going to be the backup to Jarrett Stidham. Maybe we'll use you in some packages. Maybe we'll do some wild card type stuff with you, but you're not going to be the starting quarterback. Then I don't know how he's going to handle that. As you mentioned, he seems to be very motivated. He seems to think that he can still play at the level that he played at a couple of years ago. And if he thinks he's playing well and Bill Belichick doesn't want him or would prefer to have Jarrett Stidham in there for any sort of scenario, then I could see some potential friction there. So that is definitely going to be something to watch. We haven't gotten a chance to personally speak to Cam Newton yet. The deal, actually, I don't even think is totally official. The Patriots haven't announced it, but that's definitely going to be something that that will be asked of him, how he'll handle kind of potential scenarios other than being the no question number one starter who's in there for every play.
All right, we're on with Zach Cochran, Nesson. Mark?
Zach, let me ask you the Tom Brady text, I guess, to his throwing coach, Tom House, that football is fun again. How did you interpret that?
Basically, as it interpreted it as he was saying that he feels like football is fun again, honestly. I mean, it's been a big kind of storyline around here the final few years of Brady's tenure that he just didn't feel like he was having as much fun as he did earlier in his career for whatever reason, for kind of tension with Bill Belichick, for unhappy last year, it was a lot of unhappiness with the players that were around him, with the kind of talent that he had at wide receiver and at tight end. And I think that he feels like he's kind of in a fresh start and in a new scenario, and you can't have much better or many better players around him, many better skill players than he has down there in Tampa with Gronk and with Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, OJ Howard, all of those guys down there. He has to view that as basically kind of an answer to his prayers for what he was asking for last year. Now we'll see how it all goes once kind of the teams reconvene and he's actually playing under a new coaching staff and in a slightly new system and all that, how that works out. But right now I think he feels a little rejuvenated in being outside of New England and kind of getting to try something new for himself.
Great stuff, Zach. Thanks a lot. Be safe.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right. That's the story from New England. Cam, not a lock to be a starter. And that could be one of the real interesting storylines in the NFL this year.
Something I said earlier, right initially of the signing, and that's where the rubber meets the road with Cam. Because Cam I am ain't liking none of that. I'm telling you, wait. Superman will meet Kryptonite, and the Kryptonite is Bill Belichick.
Wow. Mm-mm. Could be. All right, that's our show for today. Midday 180 is next. Have a good one.
Happy Tuesday!
Wu-Tang, y'all.